W. Dean Muhammad. Who is he? What has he accomplished? This Muslim leader is supported by the largest body of Muslims in America. He is the son of Elijah Muhammad, who was an inspired social reformer. In 1975, Imam W. Dean Muhammad stepped forward, armed with the Holy Quran and the history of Prophet Muhammad, who established Islam. W. Dean Muhammad was invited to read the Holy Quran at the inauguration of the president. He also has given the invocation at the United States Senate and the Georgia Senate. There is no doubt history will record that W. Dean Muhammad's clear, balanced vision of humanity being brought together will help ensure a brighter future for America and the world. And now we are honored to present Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
We have the Holy Quran, don't we? And we say that we are under the authority of God's word, the Holy Quran, right? Okay. If I'm your imam, and this is the message right here, where we are now, and I don't treat you right, maybe I lie when I give you those real beautiful khutbahs. Maybe I'm not a hypocrite. But you got the word, you got the law against me. Don't you act as I want you to act. You act upon the law. You take the Quran up and act upon the Quran. And then whenever the imam tell you, hey, what are you doing there? You can't do that. Say, but imam, this is the book that you read to us, the one that you preach. Here it is right here, buddy, man. That's what our people did up from slavery to the lawmakers of this land. They picked up the idea and said, look, you're not conforming to this beautiful idea. And they forced them, shamed them, and made it very uncomfortable for them to go on doing the other things they were doing against the image of Christ Jesus, peace be on him, and against the purity of the Constitution. Why can't we use that same wisdom, that same powerful wisdom and strategy? Religion asks believers, got a little head cold, this is natural here. Religion asks believers to cherish their national life, their national communities. We find in Scripture where God referred to the people of faith as being a nation. And remind them that he made them a nation. Or aided them into their national life. So the religion wants us to respect and cherish our national communities. But religion wants us to do this in obedience to God, and that means we are to value humanity and to have our national life respect humanity and make a contribution to humanity at large. Serving Allah, then serving God in this particular way, in this very intelligent way. Serving God is beneficial to all people. God wouldn't want us to serve him if it wasn't good for all people. When we serve God as we should serve God, we are the friend of all man, all mankind. We are the friend. We are a helper to all people when we serve God in the right way. If there's an urgency in our life on us, more than any other urgency, more important than any other thing stirring or moving in our hearts and souls, it is the need to have Muslim communities in America. Muslim communities in America. We have to stop thinking of just having Muslim meeting places in America, a Muslim house of prayer in America, a Muslim school in America. Allah says He made us not a Muslim prayer house. Allah didn't say He made us a Muslim school. Allah said He made us a community of excellence, a community of excellence that makes a contribution or is beneficial to all people. That's what God says. Then our destiny, our mission on this earth, wherever we are, in America or in England or in Saudi Arabia, wherever we are, our mission should be to advance the Muslim community. So that Muslim community be not only a testimony to our obedience to God, but also a testimony to the fact that we are the friend of all people, that we are the helper of all people, that we work not just for our future, but for the future of mankind. That's what God asks of us in the Quran. And there is not an educated Muslim here that can debate with me and prove me wrong. I'm going to do something I don't usually do. When I finish, I'm going to invite you to debate with me. I think it would be unfair for me to be warming up here for the fight and not give you a chance to think about you. So you start warming up for the fight. Here's something else we have to recognize. See, a person who wants to be correct must first be able to see clearly the important things hinging upon the interest. He wants to be correct. What is the interest? I don't care what it is. You want to be correct in this, you want to be correct in that. I don't care what it is. Whatever the interest is, you should be able to see clearly the important things hinging upon that. Mm-hmm. What's directly tied to that? What's directly affecting that? If you don't, you're going to mess up. Now, we are in America, and we want Muslim life in America. We want Muslim establishment in America. I know I do. We want a future for Muslim establishments in America. I do. We want to see Muslim neighborhoods where there's a mosque, a mini mosque, a school, or several schools, and a thriving Muslim business community. And Muslims turning the lights on and off. Not in the house, in the city. For the city. Yeah. I want to see that. Somebody's doing it. Why not me? We want to see Muslims with airlines. Muslims with trucking lines. Huh? I know I do. Muslims with a train. Or more than one train. Yes. Muslims with ships. Bringing goods from across the water and taking goods to places overseas. I know I do. I want to see Muslims as big as anybody else. God says we're the best. He didn't say you second best. God said you're the best. Now, if I'm going to look with hope to that destiny, then I also should be looking to one day have as much influence over the wealth of this country as anybody else. Oh, that's big talk. You shouldn't be surprised. My father had 3 years education from Sandersville, Georgia. Talking about 70 years ago or 80 years ago. You know what that 3 years elementary education was for a black person 70 or 80 years ago in Georgia. That's all he had. He learned how to read and write on his own. And he had the courage to say, get up and support yourself. Make jobs for yourself. Buy farmland, produce for yourself. Buy transportation, transport yourself. Buy an airplane. And you did it too. Well, you did it. I'm telling you, I got a chance to go as a passenger in that plane. I know. So it shouldn't be no surprise to you that his son is now holding the Quran and saying these things that I'm saying. That ain't no new tone. Same tone. So we have to have some intelligent observation. We are in a very, very powerful country. I think most of us, even those that are so bitter, they have become psychotic. Just insane. With bitterness. Even us, I think we will admit that there ain't nobody to equal this country in power. No other nation to equal this country in power. Allah can. Yeah, but see, you don't even think rationally. Allah wasn't even in the focus. I said nations, not Allah. Now that's the one that was going to debate with me when I get through. He's ready now. He said he warmed up enough. He's ready. Yeah, I just heard him say, I was warmed up enough for you when I came in the door. So in this powerful country, we should want to see in positions of leadership extraordinary characters. Persons with extraordinary character. Not no average old run-of-the-mill character. Old weak person in his character that can't hold up to somebody offer him $1,000 bribe, not to mention $1 million bribe. We shouldn't want to see people like that in power, in positions of power. We should want strong characters in our leaders. Strong character. Strong moral character in our leaders. We should want that our government have the best leadership. If we don't like what we're getting, we should pray to God and look among our children and see who's coming along. Look for bright minds. Every time the little one grow up under you, look, study him and see if he may be that next leader. If he may have that genius, that intelligence, that discipline, that respect, those qualities that we need in the President of these United States, like Colin Powell has. We should be looking for it. And when we find him, we should give him the support. Give him the support. Let the community know. Spread the word. We have a special child here with special abilities. And if you're not able to afford to send him to the best school, let the community get behind you, and we all send him to the best school. Allahu Akbar. Yes, we all take him up as our child, as our concern. We take him up because we want to have better future for ourselves, better future for this great nation. Wouldn't that make more sense than what we're doing now? Weeping and wallowing in the bitter bile, sweat and tears of the past, instead of jumping up and saying the future is longer than the past.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, I see Muslims developing in this community. I see Muslims growing in this community, and I mean growing soul-wise and intellect-wise. Muslims growing in this community who are going to take into their own hands the interests of this nation. Not just the interests of Muslims, but the interests of this nation. And with the little that they have, they're going to be planning to make a contribution to America that will make it a better America for us all. They'll be working to see America healthier and more productive. Not just for the Muslim people, but for all the people of this country. Now, God gave us a religion that our prophet presented as a religion that is established upon five essentials, or five structures. The fifth of these structures is what we call the Hajj, pilgrimage or visit to the ancient house, the sacred precincts in Mecca. The house built by Abraham and his son, peace be upon them. This Hajj is a sign. The future of Muslim Americans will be well served when we serve the future of humanity. That's what God evolved us for. That's what God has brought us out of the world of darkness for. When we go to Hajj, we see that attraction there under God, drawing us all together, bringing us all together as nations. Nations differing ideologically or politically, but agreeing in the worship of God. We see colors differing. See people of all colors, of all racial and national origins, gathering there with their racial distinctions, with their national distinctions, with their cultural distinctions, but agreeing as worshipers of the one Creator, the Lord of the heavens and earth. Coming there upon faith, honesty, decency, industry, yes, business is an interest of the Hajj. Wealth is an interest of the Hajj. And we depend on those of better means and more means or greater means to share with those of less means. So we see their industry, we expect their fairness, and we expect peace, don't we? Isn't that a sign of what Allah wants the world to be? A world where all people live in one big living room called Earth, all as equal dependents of God, the Lord Creator, who formed us all, made it possible for us all. They're all supporting the finest ideas, the noblest ideas, the purest intentions that man can have. Striving to be man at his best under God. That's the world Allah wants for us. The Hajj is a sign of it. We know we are all Muslims that go there, but we are not all of the same race. We're not all of the same nationality.
they're not all of the same sect. But when we go there, we get a respect. Or we have to recognize the respect that we do there that many of us don't recognize when we come back home or didn't recognize while we were at home. That not true? There you cannot tell a black man to get behind you if you're white. You cannot say to a black man, hey black star, wait for me and my family to go, and then you come. You can't do that. Even though it be in your heart so strong to say that to him. You can't do it. And the man can't say to sister, you're not supposed to step in front of me in the heart's rituals. Though he probably want to say it to us. He can't say it. She has her rights in the Hajj, and he has his rights in the Hajj. She want to come there and put her baggage in his space area. Longest space was there, he can't say a thing. He can't say, well, you're too close to me with your baggage. Can you move him over there a little bit? He can't say that. He got no authority there to say that. If he gets an authority, she gives it up to him. She said, okay, I'm okay. You want this space, I give it to you. She'll have to give it to him. No law there to give it to him. That is the beautiful picture that God wants for all the earth. For all the earth. That we can go to sleep at night and leave our Rolex watch. Rolex watch. Leave it right there on the sand and go to sleep. Now, some of you might think you can't do that. You can do that. I took my watch over there, and I'm kind of absent-minded when it comes to certain things. I get my mind on the rituals, and I forget my own belongings. I lost my watch over there once, got it back. I lost my wallet over there once, got it back, everything back. I had a book that I prided, a special book for me. I didn't want to lose it. It got out of my hand. I didn't know where it was. Before I left there, somebody brought it to me and gave me, this yours, Brother Muhammad? They gave it back to me. Allah is my witness. I don't know about you all. Allah is my witness. I have never lost anything on Hajj. They told me there was scorpions in the sand on the desert where I slept overnight with nothing over me, nothing to protect me. And I slept peacefully. They told me that in one of these hotels in the United States. or if I went out in one of these parks in Chicago. And they told me before I got ready, they said, you know, scorpions out here. I would have got right back up. No, into the car I would have gone and been watching to see if one was jumping in the door before I closed that door, and I'd been gone from that area. But when people give their hearts and their souls and their trust to God, and they're sincere, God will do the rest. Don't ever underestimate the presence, the reality, the presence and might of God. Don't ever underestimate it. He's as much here today, more here today in this room than anything else is here. God, I know that. Yes. And wherever you go, he's as much there as anything you can think of. He's more present than anything else you can think of. That's God. And knows everything before it occurs. Knows everything. I'm a witness. God knows everything before it occurs. And God is God. Yes, God is God. You know, I think this is what Allah means. I'm getting ready to close down. Because I know they're ready now. They're warmed up real good.
I think this is what God means in the Quran when he says to the Prophet and to us too, he is closer to you than your own jugular vein. Closer to you than the jugular vein in your neck. That's God. You know, I talked to some Muslims who think they're Muslim theologians or scholars, and they kind of brush aside, even with disgust on their face, the idea that Allah is with me personally. Yeah. They think that sounds Christian, yeah, that I say Allah is with me personally. With me while I talk. With me while I walk. With me while I sleep. And will be with me when I die and when I'm dead. That's God. And I think again, this lack of faith is addressed when Allah says, and if you want to know how I am, I'm as my true worshippers see me. He just, God didn't say, I'm as the scholars. God didn't say, you know, the wise man who led Moses, I'm as he saw me. Or do you know Moses when he went up in the mount? I'm as Moses saw me when he was up in the mount. God didn't say that. I'm as Abraham saw me when he finally was satisfied in his soul. He said, I'm as my worshippers, my common worshippers, all their worshippers, see me. Because they are innocent. See, when you get so much knowledge, you can't believe that God is God alone. You think you God with him. And when we get so much power, we can't believe that God has all the power. We think we have some of it too. So if some of us down here with the masses ask that person, well, tell me, describe God to me, they're not going to give you a true report because they don't want you to have that access to the power. I thank God that no one blocked my access. Now, I refuse to accept anybody getting in the way of me and my God. And our prophet says that the one who wronged and wants to plead to God, want to bring his case to God, says not even as much as a thin petition is between that person and his God. No. God doesn't accept that even a curtain be separated, be a separation between you, that person and God, that innocent person and God. Oh, yes. When my servants ask about me, tell them I'm always near. So maybe there are people, and many of them, in the white race, that will laugh at what I've said today and say, oh, he's dreamy. They'll never have a share in the power and future of this country. But I'm claiming what your truthful or your lying fathers promised me. I'm claiming it. Now, I think they were truthful, but if you want to say they're liars, that's up to you, Mr. White Man and Mr. Black Man, but I'm claiming it. Thank you very much. I pray to God for guidance and a bigger share of the world. Amen.